Open your Bibles with me today to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. I love the book of Romans. How many of us, when we wanted to show somebody how we got saved, have turned to the book of Romans? How many of you have done that? Look at that. Okay? And if you want to show somebody else how to get saved, there's lots of places in the Bible to do it, but I find myself going to the book of Romans. One interesting thing in Romans is the use of the word therefore. There are at least four momentous therefores in the book of Romans. Now, there's more therefores than that, but there's at least four really momentous ones. In chapter 3, verse 20, it's the therefore of condemnation. Therefore, by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. And the beginning of the book of Romans, we realize we're all sinners. We're all in big trouble. We need a Savior. Then Romans 5:1 is the second momentous therefore. It says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And we have peace with God through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That takes care of the first therefore, the therefore of condemnation. We have the therefore of justification. Then in chapter 8, I call it the therefore of sanctification. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And we learn to walk after the Spirit, and we're sanctified. I call it the therefore of sanctification. Then we come to Romans chapter 12, and verse number 1 says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren. This is the therefore of dedication, or the therefore of consecration. I had a Bible teacher, and he said this. He said, whenever you see the word therefore, you ought to look back in the previous verses and see what the therefore is there for. So let's do that. Let's go back to chapter 11 and verse number 33 and just pick up a little bit of the context here. My sons tease me because I'll use the word oh sometimes when I'm preaching. I'll say, oh, that we would just love the Lord, or oh, that we would serve Him with our whole lives. And they say, what do you say this word, oh, Dad? Well, maybe I got it from verse 33 of chapter 11. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His judgments, and His ways past finding out. Who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been His counselor, or who hath first given to Him, and it shall be recompensed unto Him again? For of Him, and through Him, and to Him are all things. To Him be glory forever. Amen. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Romans 12, 1 and 2 are in that blue brochure that we passed out a couple weeks ago. There's a couple of them on the table over there, called 22 Transforming Truths. And the Lord's led me today to preach on another one of those truths, Romans 12, 1 and 2. These would be great verses to memorize. Now, some of you think, man, Pastor, I haven't memorized anything since I've been in school. And that's been a long time. Well, the way you memorize something is you say it out loud over and over. And some of you smart people, you say it out loud once or twice and you got it. Some of us, it takes us 50 or 75 times to say it out loud before we get it. But I'm telling you, these are transforming truths, and Romans 12, 1 and 2 is one of them. So we're going to say it today, piece by piece, as we go through the message. If the Lord helps me remember, I'll have you say it piece by piece, and we'll see if we can't work on getting it a little bit memorized today. It's a transforming truth. Let's pray and ask the Lord to help us. Father, I ask that as I preach the message you've laid on my heart, that we would realize the importance of this incredible passage of Scripture, that we'd realize what it's there for, and that we will apply it to our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the main action indicated in verse 1 and 2 is that verb present. He says, I'm going to beseech you, I'm going to beg you, therefore, because of everything in the previous chapters, and especially 11:33, because of the depth of the wisdom and the riches and knowledge of God, because His ways are past finding out, He's just so wonderful, because of Him and through Him and to Him are all things, for all these reasons, I beseech you, I beg you, by the mercies of God, that you would present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. And by the way, he says, that's just your reasonable service. Verse 2, don't be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The main action in this passage is present. In other words, make a presentation. Have you ever been at a banquet or something, and they have a plaque, and they're going to make a presentation? They say, you know, this plaque says, in recognition of such and such, or maybe it says, whereas, and blah, 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 and whereas, blah, 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 we now present this honor and recognition signified by this plaque to Dr. Gobblestopper for his wonderful work in research. And they make a presentation. It's a formal thing. It's something that is memorable. It's something that people ought to remember. And it's something that Dr. Gobblestopper will remember because he's got the plaque on his wall. But it's something significant. A presentation. I want to talk to you about this presentation today in Romans 12. It's the presentation of our life. He says, I beseech you that you present your body a living sacrifice. Now, just give yourself to God. Why should we do that? First of all, it's a reasoned presentation. There's a reason for this presentation, and it's in verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. Let's say that much together. Ready? I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. Why is he beseeching us? Because of the mercies of God. Let's say it again. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. The reason we ought to give everything to God is because of the mercies of God. The mercies of God. Jeremiah says in Lamentations 3:22, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Hey, it's only God's mercy that we're not consumed, that we're not destroyed. God's grace and God's mercy are twin sisters. God's grace is the fact that God gives me so many good things that I don't deserve. He gives me salvation. He gives me a home in heaven. In my case, He's given me a family and a wife and kids. And He's given me so many things I don't deserve. And His grace abounds in your life too. There's so many things that God has given you that you don't deserve. The twin sister of grace is mercy. Mercy is God does not give me what I really deserve. Grace, He gives me the good things I don't deserve. Mercy is He doesn't give me the bad things that I really do deserve. He's merciful. He is so merciful to me. If I got what I deserved, I'd be ruined. I'd probably be burning in hell right now, okay, because I'm a sinner just like everybody else. If we got what we deserved, we'd be in big trouble. But the mercies of God. The mercies of God. How wonderful that He doesn't give us what we really deserve. And we forget that sometimes. You know, here we are, you know, we lay on our horn because we got cut off in traffic. You know what? I didn't deserve to get cut off in traffic. I deserve to get hit if I got what I really deserved. But God's mercy abounds. So some people get mad because they're not paid enough at their job, and they're mad. Hey, what about the mercies of God that you even have a job? Somebody says, well, I'm upset because, you know, I go home and every night at home I got to eat the same thing. That's all we can afford. Every night at home I eat the same thing. Well, praise God that you have a home to go home to. The mercies of God. Some people get mad because they only have one car to drive around. Well, it's God's mercy that you have a car. Some of our folks just were able to get a vehicle in the last week or two. And they're so excited about it because they know what it's like to be without one. Hey, the mercies of God are so good to us. Some people are upset and they say, well, I wish I had more dresses to wear to church, or I wish I had a nicer suit to wear to church. Hey, just be thankful that we got legs to cover up with a suit or a dress, all right? Praise the Lord, because His mercies endure forever. Psalm 136, over and over and over again, says His mercy endureth forever. The mercies of God. What a theme for my song. I never could number them more. They're more than the stars in the heavenly dome and the sands on the wave-beaten shore. For mercy so great, what return can I make? For mercy so constant and sure, I'll love Him, I'll serve Him with all that I have as long as my life shall endure. The mercies of God. Hey, we have a reason to present our bodies a living sacrifice. To say, God, here's my life. The reason is not so you can go to heaven. Some people think, well, I'll give myself to God. I'll say, God, I give my life to you so that He'll take me to heaven. No. You can't go to heaven by giving your life to God. Because before you're saved, He doesn't want your life. Our life is full of sin. We've got to get saved from our sin before we can make this presentation. There's got to be a time in your life when you realize, I'm a sinner, I don't deserve heaven, but Jesus died for my sins, and I'm going to receive Him as my Savior. I'm going to accept Him. I was talking to somebody this morning. They said, well, you know, I don't remember the exact date and time. I said, you know what? You don't have to remember the exact date and time, but there has to be an exact date and time, because it's a transaction that takes place. It's not just like, well, I just grew up in a church, and so I must be saved. Or, you know, I've always been around the Bible, or I've always loved God, so I must be saved. No, there has to be a transaction that takes place when you call upon the name of the Lord, Romans 10:13. When you confess with your mouth, Romans 10:9. When you take a drink of the water of life, Revelation chapter 22. When you actually receive Christ as your Savior, John 1:12. For me, right now, I'm not remembering the exact date. It's written somewhere. But it was a Sunday night. It was after a church service when I understood I was a sinner. And I prayed and I said, Jesus, I need You to be my Savior. And that transaction took place on that day. And from that day to this, I know I'm saved. Not based on feelings. I didn't feel anything special that night that I remember. It's not based on feelings. It's based on the fact of the Word of God. And He said, if you'll call on Me, if you'll trust Me as Savior, then you're saved. Hey folks, after you do that, after that transaction takes place, you become one of God's children. And then you love Him for saving you. And your natural response is to say, Lord, what can I do because I love You? Not to get me to heaven. I'm not saved by my works. I'm saved by Jesus alone. But now that I'm saved, what can I do to show that I love You? And so He says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. Because God is so merciful and kind to you, because He doesn't give you what you really deserve, present your bodies a living sacrifice. Make the presentation. There's a reason for it, and it's the mercies of God. Number two, it's a real presentation. It says that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. Let's say that portion will say that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. Ready? That ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. One more time. That ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. Anybody think we can put them together? Let's give it a try. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. It's a real presentation. First of all, it says that ye present. Oh, Pastor, I have a hard time understanding the King James Version of the Bible, all the these and thous and the ye's. I don't even know what ye means. Wait a minute. How many of you know what ye means? Look at that. Just about everybody, right? Ye means you. Okay? Ye means you. So don't let anybody tell you the Bible's hard to understand. Come on now. Actually, they've done studies, and the King James Version of the Bible is written on the third grade reading level. Okay? And they've also compared some of these newer translations that are supposed to be easier, and they come up on the sixth grade reading level. And they're not always easier. Okay. But anyway, that ye present your bodies. You know what? This is a real thing that you have to do. Ye present. You must do it. You must make the presentation. It's up to you. Now, our salvation was up to Christ. All right? I had to come to Him and receive Him, but He did the work. But this presentation is something that we have to take action. We have to do something. We have to present our body. Now, notice it says our body. And I studied this out, and it's actually literally talking about your body. I like to think of the verse as giving your whole life to God. And that's true because of the next phrase. But it's based upon you giving your physical body. You give your body. Why your body? Because it's with this physical body that we serve God. And it's also this physical body that the devil tries to tempt and get to sin. Right? He tries to get your hands to do things they shouldn't do. Punch that guy in the mouth, you know. He tries to get your eyes to look at things you shouldn't look at. Tries to get your ears to listen to things you shouldn't listen to. Tries to get your mouth to say things you shouldn't say. Tries to get your feet to go places you shouldn't go. You see, it's our body that is tempted to sin, and it's with our body that we serve God. Romans 6:13 says, neither yield ye your members, your parts of your body, as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God, as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. So it's very important that we present our body, that we say, Lord, this body is not mine anymore. I'm now giving it to you. It's yours. I present my body to God so that He can use it for whatever He wants and however He wants. Now it says, I present my body a living sacrifice. And from this phrase, a living sacrifice, you get the idea that it's your whole life. It's your whole life. Because when there's a sacrifice in the Bible, when that animal was sacrificed, its whole life was given up. And in the same sense, when we present our body as a living sacrifice, our whole life is given up to God. We say, God, I give my whole life to You because You saved me. You're taking me to heaven. I love You so much for that. You're giving me a life worth living down here. I'm just going to give You my whole life as a living sacrifice. Now, those Old Testament animals were dead sacrifices. We have a living sacrifice. Remember the last transforming truth? I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. See, I'm a living sacrifice. I'm crucified, but I'm still alive. It's a living sacrifice. And we present our bodies as that living sacrifice. It's a real presentation. Some people get real spiritual and they say, you know what? I would die for Christ. Be careful about that. That's what Peter said. And then he denied Him three times. But some people, you know, they get real spiritual. I would die for Christ. You know the truth is? Here in America, He doesn't want you to die for Him. He wants you to live for Him. He wants you to, and sometimes it's kind of a cop-out to say, I would die for Christ, when we're not even willing to live for Him. He wants us to identify with His death and then live for Him. That ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. It's not a real presentation To say that I'm giving my life to God, but then not grow in holy living. Now, none of us live perfectly holy lives, but we ought to be growing in our holy living. And that's why coming to church is so important, because you'll learn things from the Bible, you'll learn new things to help you grow to be more of what God wants you to be, and you'll grow toward that holy living, because the living sacrifice has to be holy. Do you remember when they sacrificed those lambs to God? They had to find a lamb that was pure and without blemish. They couldn't take one of those lambs that was sick or had a broken leg and say, this one's going to get eaten by the wolf anyway, so I'll just sacrifice it to God. No, it had to be holy, set apart, special for God. And that's the way our life ought to be. It ought to be set apart for Him. It's not saying we're going to be perfect, but we're growing in that holiness. And it's not a real presentation for somebody to say, yeah, I've dedicated my life to God. I've given my life to the Lord. I'll live my life for Him. And then not grow in holiness. We've got to allow Him to work in our hearts and remove sin and make us acceptable unto Him. So it's a real presentation. Let me ask you, have you ever made that presentation? The truth is, every single believer ought to do it. Everyone who's received Christ as Savior ought to make that presentation and say, Lord, I'm so glad I'm on my way to heaven. I'm going to give my life to You. You say, well, what if God messes up my life? What? Think about that for a minute. If you give your life to God, is He going to mess it up? Now, if you gave your life to a person, they might mess it up. If you said, you know what? There were some people years ago who followed a preacher. He was a false preacher named Jim Jones. Remember that? They said, we'll do whatever you want us to do. We'll go wherever you want us to go. And so he took them to some island and poisoned them all and killed them all. What a crazy guy. All right. You know what? If you give your life to somebody else, you could get messed up. Now, there's a sense in which we give our lives to our husbands and wives because we become one. But sometimes, and that's the right thing to do because the Bible says to do it. But even that sometimes goes sour, doesn't it? But not God. If you give your life to God, I'm telling you, your life's going to be as wonderful as it can be. Don't let the devil deceive you into thinking you shouldn't make it, that presentation. But let me ask you, have you made that presentation? Was it a real presentation where you said, okay, Lord, I'm giving You my life. You saved me. You deserve it. I'm giving You my life. Not only is it a reasoned presentation and a real presentation, but the verse goes on to say it's a reasonable presentation. It's in a reasonable presentation. It says at the end of verse 1, which is your reasonable service. Say that part with me. Ready? Which is your reasonable service. One more time. Which is your reasonable service. Can we say all of verse 1? I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Hey, when we use that term reasonable, what do we mean? We mean, hey, that's only reasonable. And that makes sense. Sometimes people think, well, Pastor, you don't know what this week was like. I've been through a rough week. God should just be glad that I'm even here this morning. Wait a minute. God says, hey, for you to give God your whole life, that's only reasonable. That's only reasonable. Why would it be reasonable? Because He gave His whole life for us. You know, if you were out on Toledo Blade, the other day we were out there, we were coming in to the church parking lot here for soul winning time to meet people to go out soul winning at 10 o'clock. And as I was turning in, I noticed right on Toledo Blade, something had fallen off a truck, and it was like a wooden box or something that had broken, and it had some thick, like probably an inch thick pieces of marble or something that had shattered, and I thought, that's going to give people all kinds of flat tires, you know? And so as we were turning in, Ben and I jumped out of the car, and we were tossing stuff off the road, you know, and we'll make sure no cars are coming, you know, and then we got out of the way, and some cars slowed down because they saw there was stuff, and they went around. And then no cars come, so we got back, and we're tossing some more stuff off the road, you know. And, you know, what if Ben's out there. I'm out there, okay? I'm out there and I'm tossing stuff off the road and I don't realize that a Mack truck is coming. And so Ben, this is not going to work this way. I got to use one of you, okay? You see me, I'm about to get hit by a Mack truck. And so Hal Johnson, you know, opens up his shirt and there's a big S on his chest. He's Superman. And he comes flying in there and he knocks me out of the road. But he's not quite super enough and the truck hits him. I would go to Nancy and I'd say, Hal gave up his life for me. The least I can do is whatever you want. If you want me to come mow your lawn, because I know Hal mows the lawn all the time, I'll come mow your lawn. Because I would have been dead. My life would have been over. But the only reason I'm alive is because he died for me. So I'll do whatever you want. Yes, you name it. You name it, I'll do it. Jesus Christ gave up his life for us. Only the consequence wasn't just physical death by Mack truck. It was eternal death by the flames of hell. And it's only our reasonable service. You wouldn't say, well, that would be pretty heroic of you to go to Nancy and say that you would do that. No, that would only be reasonable. It would only be reasonable because her husband gave up his life for me. Folks, we should not think, well, you know, that must be super Christian, man. S on his chest, if he gave his life to God and he said he will do anything God wants him to do, that must be super. No, that's just reasonable. It's our reasonable service. So it's reasoned, it's real, it's reasonable. But look at point number four. It says, be not conformed to this world. And be not conformed to this world. Can we say that part? Ready? And be not conformed to this world. One more time. And be not conformed to this world. You know what? This world doesn't understand what I'm talking about today. They think that if you give your life to God, if you say, Jesus Christ, I give my life to you, I'll do whatever you want me to do because you died for me. They think that you're crazy. They think that you are radical. And so I want to say today, this is a radical presentation. This is a radical presentation. You'll be considered radical. You'll be considered crazy by this world. People won't understand. Some relatives won't understand. Some relatives will think, what, you got religion now. What are you, you know, weird? You know, Joe Holy, you know, Holy Roller, Chuck Church, Billy Bible. You know, what's going on here, okay? Something's messed up with you. They won't understand. You know what? They're going to try to squeeze us believers into the mold of this world. This word conformed means squeezed into the mold. Be not conformed to this world. Be not squeezed into the mold of this world. A couple years ago, I heard about something very unusual, and so I looked it up again this week before I would mention it today. They have such a thing now as square watermelons, rectangular watermelons. And it's really neat. They developed them first in Japan. You know, Japan, space is tight, and, you know, refrigerators are smaller. And so they came up with these square watermelons because you could put them in your refrigerator. They take up less space. Plus, you could put things on top of them. They don't roll around in the refrigerator or roll out, okay? And they just fit better. Well, guess how they come up with these square watermelons? When the watermelon is small, they put it in a clear box. A clear box. Now, it takes extra work because the box doesn't allow water to get on the watermelon. It still gets through the vine. There's a, you know, hole in the box for the vine. So they have to go around and somehow water them all. And that's why they cost like $15 a watermelon. But they made square watermelons. You know why? Because as that watermelon grows, it gets squeezed into the mold of that rectangular shape. Folks, the world wants to squeeze Christians into their mold. They want you to be just like them. But you're not just like them because you're a child of God. You're new on the inside. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away and all things become new. You're totally new on the inside, but the world wants to conform you to its methods, to its mold. Don't let the world dictate to you how to raise your kids. Don't let the world dictate to you how to make your entertainment choices. Don't let the world dictate to you your wardrobe. You see, the world tries to squeeze us into his mold. He says, the world says, hey, don't discipline your kids the Bible way. That's mean. You know, that's cruel. You're going to hurt his psyche. And they try to squeeze us into their mold and say, hey, just let the kid do what he wants to do. He'll grow up okay because man is naturally good. You know, the Bible doesn't say man is naturally good. The Bible says, in sin did my mother conceive me. I'm born a sinner. I'm born naturally wicked and evil. And so the Bible says that we need to use discipline. The Proverbs calls it the rod, and train up our children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Now, if you do what God says, you're going to be happy. But the world tries to squeeze you into its mold. It says, you know, if we find out you're disappointing your kid, we'll take you to court. We'll take your kids away. And they try to scare you and squeeze you into the mold. Hey, you do what God says no matter what. And He'll bless and He'll honor you. Now, you can be wise about it. You know, first of all, a spanking is not a smack in the mouth. Biblical discipline is not a smack in the mouth. It's also not chasing the kid across the room with a belt. Okay. Find out what a biblical spanking is and practice it with love and prayer, and you'll see your kids turn out well. Or you can be squeezed into the mold of this world and let the kids do what they want to do, and they'll turn out like the rest of the kids are turning out nowadays. Okay? If that's what you want, you'll make that mistake. But folks, that's not what God wants. The world wants to squeeze us into its mold about raising kids. They try to squeeze us into its mold about our entertainment choices. You know, you just got to see this movie. You just got to see it. It's the best one coming out in the last 2 weeks. So you just got to see it. I mean, and they promote it, you know, and you go to these fast food restaurants and all the little toys are from the movie, you know, and you just got to go see it. And if you don't see it, you'll be missing out. And you get squeezed into the mold of this world thinking, I've got to see it. Even if there is some things in that movie that aren't pleasing to God. Well, you know, it's just one or two. Just one bad thing in there. Oh, okay. Just one bad thing, then it's okay. No, we don't have to be squeezed into the mold of this world. They try to squeeze us into the mold when it comes to wardrobe. You know, the styles. You know, you gotta wear this certain style. You know, I don't care. I got a double-breasted suit. Not today. But I have a double-breasted suit. And you know what? Nobody wears double-breasted suits anymore. You know, they're the kinds that go across like this, you know? Okay. Nobody wears those hardly anymore. But you know what? Once in a while, I'll wear my double-breasted suit. You know why? Because I like it. And because the Lord gave it to me. And so I'll wear it. I'm not going to be squeezed into the mold of this world. Now, double-breasted suit, regular button suit, no big deal. Okay, but some of the world's wardrobe fashions violate scriptural principles of modesty and scriptural principles of gender distinction. We don't have to be squeezed into the mold of this world. Girls, you don't have to wear the tightest and lowest and shortest. Okay, you can dress modestly. You don't have to be squeezed into the mold of this world. Guys, don't let pro athletes dictate to you how to play sports. Okay? You know, when you score a touchdown, you got to get all the attention, man. You got to hot dog it and gyrate around and get everybody to look at you. No, no. We can play sports to the glory of God. Don't be squeezed into the mold of this world. Some people want a worldly church. Did you know the words worldly and church don't go together? If you want a church where people are encouraged to look like a world, or a church where people are encouraged to talk like the world, maybe the pastor gets up, hey dude, what's up man? How's it going? What's happening? You know, let's talk. Let's rap a little bit here for my sermon. Okay, you want a church that wants to talk like the world, fit in with the world, jive and groove like the world, dress like the world and just add a little bit of Jesus in, then don't call it a church. Call it a life fellowship or the river or the bridge or a life center. Okay, but don't call it a church because the word church means a called out assembly. And what are we called out of? The world. We're called out of this world. Be not conformed to this world. Don't be squeezed into the mold of this world. If you present your body a living sacrifice, the world's going to look at it as a radical presentation. Now, we've got to balance it. They say it's radical. God says it's reasonable. Don't forget. Sometimes you'll feel radical. You'll feel like, I'm the only one that wants to live for God. That's what Elijah thought. And God said, no, I have 7,000 left that haven't bowed their knee to Baal. You'll think you're the only one, but you're not. But even if you are, it's a reasonable service. Okay? Yes, it's radical, but it's also reasonable. Okay? Number 5. Let's look on in our verse. It says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Can we say that part? But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. One more time. But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Let's say from verse 2 up to that far, all of verse 2. Ready? And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Not only is it a radical presentation, it's a renewing presentation. It is a renewing presentation. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now, folks, the mind is the key. The mind is the key. God wants to transform your life. How does He do it? He does it through your mind. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. How many of you know that what we think about becomes what we do and what we are? Okay? That's scriptural. Proverbs 23, verse 7 says, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Evangelist Steve Pigott would say over and over again, as a man thinketh, so is he. As a man thinketh, so is he. Okay? As you think, that's what you're going to be. You think about it long enough, pretty soon it becomes part of you. You think about it long enough, pretty soon you start doing it. You do it long enough, pretty soon you start being it. Okay? Thoughts become actions. Actions become character. Character becomes destiny. You're going to be what you think. You heard, you are what you eat? No, you are what you think. Okay? You are what you think. I'm not a piece of broccoli. Okay? But I am what I think. All right? As he thinketh, so is he. So what should we do? Guard our mind and saturate our mind with Scripture. Okay? The negative, guard your mind. Be careful, little eyes, what you see. Be careful, little ears, what you hear. Okay, that little kid's song is a good song, isn't it? Because the things that come in our eye gate and our ear gate are the things that get into our mind. And you've got to guard those gates. Now, we live in a wicked world, and there's sometimes you can't escape things. I was in a store the other day, and I didn't want to listen to it, but there was some song playing on the speakers in the store, and it had some words that were against the Bible, anti-God words. Man, when I was a teenager, they had songs that said, like, if it feels good, do it, and stuff like that. I'm like, how wicked can that be? You know, just do what feels good? That's terrible. We've got to do what pleases God. And I'm telling you, sometimes you can't avoid that input, but a lot of it we can. We could choose what songs we put on our iPod or what songs we turn on the radio. We can choose to mute the TV commercials or change the TV commercials so I'm not listening to that kind of stuff. We could choose what TV shows we watch and not watch shows that have people who aren't husband and wife making out and stuff like that. We don't have to watch that stuff. Okay, we can choose what we put in our eye gates and in our ear gates, and we can guard our mind. But it says be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And I believe that our transformation takes place as we start to think like God thinks. Isn't that what it means to renew your mind? Instead of thinking like I used to think, now I'm starting to think like God thinks about things. I'm having my mind renewed. Question. How do we know how God thinks? From the Bible, right? That's how He's revealed what He thinks. So I've got to saturate my mind with Scripture. That means I ought to be reading my Bible every day. That means maybe I ought to be writing something down from what I read to make me think about what I read. That means I need to be in church. That means I need to be in Sunday school. That means I need to be here Sunday night and Wednesday night because I got to saturate my mind with Scripture. I've got to renew my mind so that I start to think more and more like God thinks. be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And as we saturate our minds with Scripture, we will think more like what He wants us to think. Now, I was thinking about these last two points. Not conformed, but transformed. What is your desire? What are your desires like? As you go through your week, are you more often desiring to be conformed to this world? Maybe you're in a Christian family and you think, man, I just wish I could know about the top 10, you know? I just wish I could know what everybody else is joking about at school and be in on that wicked worldly stuff. Okay, do we desire to be conformed to this world? To fit in? How often do we desire that? And how often do we desire and say, oh, if I could have anything, I just want my life to be transformed. I just want to be like Jesus. That's what I want to do. I want my life to be like Jesus Christ. I want to be... Which one occupies more of your thought? The devil comes and he tries to get you to think about the world. Oh, I want to be like the world. The Bible comes and God comes and says, no, I want you to be like Christ. What's happening in your life? Where are your desires? We've got to say, Lord, I give myself to you. I'm a living sacrifice. No more do I want to be like this world. Now, if I'm honest, yeah, there's a part of me that still wants to be like, but I'm putting that part to death. I'm reckoning myself to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God. Praise the Lord for Joe's Sunday school lesson this morning. You know what? We've got to allow that transformation to take place. Well, lastly today, it's not only a reasoned position, not only a real presentation, not only a reasonable presentation and a radical presentation, and not only is it a renewing presentation, but number six, it's a revealing presentation. Look at the end of verse 2. It says that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That word prove means experience. You're going to experience the will of God. The will of God is going to be revealed in your life. You're going to know what God's plan is, and you're going to see it accomplished in your life. You're going to prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Can we say that part together? Go ahead and look down the end of verse 2. Start with that ye may prove. Ready? That ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. One more time. That ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Hey, some people say, oh man, I feel sorry for you. You gotta be a Christian. You gotta go back to church every week. You gotta go to church again on Sunday night. Hey, don't feel sorry for me. I'm living in the mercy of God. I'm living as a living sacrifice to Him. He's transforming my mind and my life, and I'm having the time of my life. Amen. It's great living the Christian life. Folks, did you pull up to the same filling station that I pulled up to? I was at the gas station the other day, and you know, some people say, oh, it's just really rough being a Christian. Hey, did you pull up to the same filling station I pulled up to? The other day, I got some gas 2 weeks ago, $3.05 a gallon. That's pretty good, isn't it? I'm surprised I'm saying that. You know, it wasn't too many, 15 years ago or so, we were, you know, $1.50 a gallon. When I was a kid, we were getting 33 cents a gallon. Wow, you're old, Pastor. Okay. You know, so 29 cents, there you go. So now we praise the Lord for $3.05 a gallon. But man, as I was pumping that gas, I was thinking, you know, when you're pumping gas, there's not a lot you can do. You can't text because your cell phone will blow up. Did you know that? And you can't talk on the cell phone because the static electricity will blow you up. You can't listen to the radio because you got to turn your engine off. So you know, there's not much you can do but just think. And I was thinking about my salvation. And I was thinking, spiritually speaking, I pulled up to that filling station. And when I pulled into that gas station, spiritually speaking, I was on empty. I was on empty, weren't you? And worse than that, because when I went to get some gas, spiritually speaking, I was broke. The only thing worse than being empty is being empty and broke at the same time, right? And I was empty and broke at that spiritual gas station. and I was in despair and I didn't know what to do. And all of a sudden, a white chariot pulled up and out stepped Jesus Christ. And he said, you know, son, I can take care of that for you if you'll accept it. I'll accept it. I'll accept it. Can I pay you? No, I can't pay you. I'm broke. I'll accept it. And so he took out the card of his precious blood and he swiped his card through that card reader and he filled up my tank with mercy and with grace. And I'm telling you what, I got filled to the full. And I was thinking about this and I'm pumping gas. And not only that, but he didn't stop there. He said, hey, follow my chariot over to the dealership. I'm going to outfit you in a nice new car. How's that? I'm telling you, he is so good to us. Did you pull up to the same filling station that I pulled up to? Some of you pulled up to the filling station of the church. Wrong filling station. I pulled up to the filling station of the cross. You see, it's on the cross where Jesus paid for our sins. It's his shed blood. And too many people are trusting the church. By the way, I got enough filled up at the cross to keep me going to the church. All right? And if you got the same filling station I got, then you've got that as well. I'm telling you what, Jesus gave me everything that I need. He filled me up with his mercy and his grace. And I'm telling you, doing his will is the most exciting thing in the world. And this verse says that you may prove or experience what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. God's will is not some mysterious thing that he's trying to hide from you. And he's going to make it really hard for you to ever know his will, let alone do it, let alone finish it. Now, I believe that God intends for us to find, follow, and finish the will of God for our lives. You know why we don't? Because we don't follow this verse. We're not a living sacrifice. We're conformed to the world. And we're not transforming our mind. And then we miss out. But watch, if we're a living sacrifice, God, I give you my life. We're not like this world. We say, I'm not going to be squeezed into that mold. Going to get the worldly stuff out. And then we're transformed by renewing our mind, and I'm in Scripture. Then this is a promise we will prove. We will experience the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We'll know what it's like to be right in the center of God's plan for our lives and seeing God use us and seeing all the blessings that come with being in His will. And it's a wonderful thing. Did you ever order the wrong thing? And then you were glad that you did? Did that ever happen to you? Well, isn't it great when you stumble onto something right? I'm praying that some of you will stumble onto something right in God's will. Psalm 34:8 says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good." If you'll just taste it, you order the wrong thing and you taste it. That's pretty good. I'm kind of glad I ordered this. I think I'll order this from now on. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Some of you get a taste of Sunday night and think, wow, this is good. Some of you get a taste of Wednesday night church, you'll think, wow, this is good. Some of you get a taste of tithing 52 weeks in a year and see if God will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. Malachi 3:10-11. Hey, some of you get a taste of soul winning. Go out with us and witness for Christ and see somebody's eyes as the fire of conviction begins to burn. And see him trust Christ as Savior. And maybe see him come to church and see him get baptized. I'm telling you what, you'll get excited. You'll get fired up. You'll say, man, this is great doing the will of God. Get a taste of praying and see God answer, as we saw the answer for the Martins this week. You know, and praying. And, you know, the only sad thing about it is I was thinking if God had waited like another week, then you all could have been praying. And then you all could have been excited about it. But it happened so quick and the answer came so quick that only a few of us were praying about it. And the rest of you missed out on the blessing of getting to pray for it. But you know, pray and see God answer often in miraculous ways. And you'll get excited about presenting yourself as a living sacrifice. Get a taste of loving your wife and see how much better God makes your marriage. Get a taste of raising your kids in the nurture and admonition of the Lord and see how much joy God gives you through your family. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. And it's all a matter of trust. Well, what about this presentation? Have you made the presentation? I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove, experience what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Can we say that whole thing together? Look down if you need to. Ready? I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Father, I pray that this morning that presentation would be made. I pray that it would be a real presentation. We know what's involved, Lord. We know that you're going to change our lives. We're not going to be like this world anymore. We're going to start growing spiritually. And old things are going to pass away and all things are going to become new. But Lord, we also are so excited about the prospect of experiencing and proving the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And seeing the joy of our families raised right and our church on fire for you and people being saved and baptized and discipled. And Lord, it's just so exciting to think that we can be used in your cause. Lord, I pray that every single one of God's people at Bethel Baptist Church would make that presentation and be a living sacrifice.